Thank you, Brother David. You know, the book of Jeremiah is a very large book. It has 52 chapters in it. And it is filled with historical facts and prophecies. And you know, every one of us has a favorite scripture that we quote from Jeremiah. And you know, Jeremiah was known as a prophet of doom, because he served during the declining years of the kingdom of Judah. And we are going to look at Jeremiah first as a historical book, and then have a lesson from his life. You know, the meaning of the name Jeremiah is Jehovah will lift up, exalt, or will rise. If you turn with me to chapter 1, verse 1, says there that Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Now the town of Anathoth was located about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. The Levites, we recall, had no inheritance in the land. They were given 48 cities to dwell in. And Anathoth was one of those cities. It was located in the land allotted to the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the smaller tribes. And that tribe united with the largest tribe, which was Judah, after the death of King Solomon. Benjamin and Judah became the two-tribe kingdom, known as the Kingdom of Judah. The other 10 northern tribes were called the Kingdom of Israel. Now when Jeremiah came on the scene, the 10-tribe kingdom had already been overthrown and taken captivity by the Syrians. The next two verses of chapter 1 tells us the time period when Jeremiah was on the scene. Verse 2, the word of the Lord came, that is, it came by Jeremiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So his ministry extended over the last 40 years of the kingdom of Judah to the destruction of Jerusalem and the deportation of the people to Babylon. The kings mentioned are Josiah and his sons, Jehoiakim, and then Zedekiah. During that 40-year period, there was a short reign by three months by another son of Josiah, and son Jehoiakim also reigned for 3 months. Now, Josiah was a good king. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And the high priest at that time had found a book of the law in the temple. And we are told that Josiah, when he found out that this book was found, he gathered all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem, and Josiah went up into the temple, and all the people of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and with all the priests and the prophets, all the people, and he read in their ears, it says, all the words of the book of the covenant which is found in the house of the Lord. And Josiah made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and to carry out all the words which is found in this book. And he accomplished that by destroying the heathen worship that was in the land. And he repaired the temple, and he reinstated the Passover, which had not been kept for a number of years. We believe Jeremiah probably assisted Josiah in the reformation that was then going on. In fact, Jeremiah's words are recorded in chapter 3, and he gives some warnings to the kingdom of Judah. Chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done?" Now she has gone into captivity, the Gentile kingdom. "She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when, for all the causes thereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also." So the Lord, speaking through Jeremiah, said that Judah has not profited by the example of the Lord's displeasure with Israel, that is, with the ten tribe kingdom, and was sinning also, despite all the warnings of the prophet. Now, during the reign of Josiah, the king of Egypt, his name was Pharaoh Necho, he went up against the king of Assyria to battle. And passing through the land, King Josiah went out to battle against him. And King Josiah was slain at Megiddo. And he was taken back to Jerusalem in his chariot where he was buried. And when Josiah was killed in battle, we are told that Judah and Jerusalem, they mourned for him. And Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah. And that's recorded in 2 Chronicles 35:25. Now, the kingdom of Judah then became subject to the king of Egypt. Pharaoh Necho had set Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, on the throne. And Jehoiakim, he had to tax the land to give tribute money to Egypt. Now we are going to look at some of Jeremiah's words during the reign of King Jehoiakim. Now the scriptures say that Jehoiakim did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 36th chapter. Jeremiah 36, and in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neriah, and Barak wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. When Barak completed this writing of the book, he took it to the temple, and he read it there before all the people who were gathered there. And in verse 16, we read of the 36th chapter, "Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Barak, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, Tell us, how? How didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Barak answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Barak, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, let no man know where you be. Then the princes also hid the book, and then they went and told the king. Then the king sent a man named Jehudi to fetch this book and to read it to him. And in verse 22, we read, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with a penknife. That is, Jehoiakim, he cut it with a knife. And he cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet, it says, they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all of these words. Jehoiakim then commanded that they go seize Barak and the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the scriptures say the Lord hid them. Now, have you ever written a paper on a subject or some document and when you couldn't find it, you lost it? Have you ever typed out a file on your computer and you accidentally hit the delete key? All your work disappeared, right? So you know how Jeremiah said. All his words from Josiah to the present were burning in the fire. Yet you all have 52 chapters of Jeremiah in your Bible. So what took place? Well, in verse 27 it says, of the 36th chapter, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying that the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from sense, man and beast. And then in verse 32 we read, then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Barak, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added beside unto them many like words. Now, this shows us the type of individual Jeremiah was dealing with in King Jehoiakim. Now, during Jehoiakim's reign, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh Necho, he was defeated by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar entered Jerusalem after a short siege, and he took Jehoiakim prisoner. He bound him and he carried him away to Babylon, along with some of the other vessels of the temple. But after a while, Nebuchadnezzar reinstated Jehoiakim to the throne, but Jehoiakim had to pay tribute to him. Now, Jeremiah, he prophesied the details of Jehoiakim's death. We read this in Jeremiah 36, verse 30, where it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And also, if you go back to Jeremiah 22, chapter 22, it is verse 18 where Jeremiah prophesied again about his death, where it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. You know, if an ass dies in the city, they would just tie a rope around his neck and just carry him out, drag him out to the gates of the city, and bury him in the valley somewhere. So Jehoiakim did not have the burial of a king. They did not mourn for him like they did for King Josiah, his father. And he met a violent death somehow. His body was cast to the ground, and after being exposed for some time to the heat of the day and to the frost of the night, he was dragged away and buried with the burial of an ass, without lamentation, beyond the gates of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah had prophesied his death. Now after the death of Jehoiakim, his son reigned for 3 months. And then finally, Jehoiakim's brother, Zedekiah, was set on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar. This would be Judah's last king. And he, like his father, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. After a while, Zedekiah, he made an alliance with Egypt. And the Pharaoh at that time came to the assistance of Zedekiah. So Nebuchadnezzar's army left the area of Jerusalem for a while. Now let us look into some of Jeremiah's words to Zedekiah at the time he was reigning. This is found in Jeremiah 37:7. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt unto their own land. And the Chaldeans, that is Babylon, shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. And so for his words, Jeremiah, he was thrown in prison for saying this. False prophets had assured Zedekiah that the king of Babylon would not come again into this land. It is interesting to note, later on, Zedekiah wanted to talk to Jeremiah in private, perhaps to get a clarification of the Lord's words. Maybe this time Jeremiah would say something different. And so we read in verse 16 of the 37th chapter, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, that's the very cells of this prison, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. I'm sure that was not the answer that Zedekiah was looking for. God's word had not changed. They did not like Jeremiah because he told the truth. He was a prophet of the Lord. They preferred prophets who would tell them what they wanted to hear about their own wisdom and about their own greatness and their success of their policies. He was always misunderstood by the king and their counselors. Thou shalt be delivered unto the hand of the king of Babylon. And how true those words were. Because Nebuchadnezzar's army eventually besieged the city for 2 years, and finally they entered into the walls of Jerusalem. Zedekiah tried to escape, But they overtook them in the plains of Jericho. And Nebuchadnezzar ordered that Zedekiah's sons be slain before him. And then Zedekiah's eyes were put out. He gouged his eyes out. And Zedekiah was then taken to Babylon, where he died. Now, after Zedekiah's death, Jeremiah was set free from prison, and he remained in the land of Judah with some of the poor. But after a while, a leader arose amongst them who wanted to leave the land of Israel, and he wanted to take the remnant to Egypt. And Jeremiah spoke out against this. And his words are recorded in Jeremiah 42:15. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. For if ye wholly set your heart faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine, whereof ye were afraid, shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt. And of course, Jeremiah was rebuked for giving this message. We read in chapter 43, verse 2, where it states, and all the proud men said unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. So they did not listen to the word of the Lord from Jeremiah, and the remnant went with this leader to Egypt, and Jeremiah was also taken there with them. And in chapter 43, verse 7, we read, so they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tapanhes. Now, as we come, now we come to a very interesting prophecy of Jeremiah. The next verse, Jeremiah 43:8, says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tapanhes, saying, take great stones in thy hand, and hide them in the clay in the brick oven, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tapanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, and here's his prophecy, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to sword. Now, I believe that's a very interesting prophecy because, you know, you're not going to find an account in the Bible that Nebuchadnezzar entered Egypt after Jeremiah was there. Jeremiah predicted that Nebuchadnezzar's throne would be set on the very stones that Jeremiah had hid there. But I did find in Josephus, he was a Jewish historian, he records in one of his works, and this is Antiquities of the Jews, chapter 9, paragraph 7, where it says, on the fifth year after the destruction of Jerusalem, which was the 23rd year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he fell upon Egypt in order to overthrow it, and he slew the king that then reigned, and he set up another, and he took those Jews that were there captive, and he led them away to Babylon. So that's what Josephus says about the fulfillment of that prophecy. So those Jews who went to Egypt did not escape from the hand of Nebuchadnezzar after all. Now while in Egypt, Jeremiah, he still sought to turn the people back to God. The 44th chapter is an example of some of his writings in Egypt. And it's because the Jews continued to worship other gods. Imagine that. They went to Egypt and they still worship other gods. In chapter 44, verse 7, it reads, "Therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and of your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are now humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walk in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers." What a rebuke by Jeremiah. Now, you know, we have no further information respecting Jeremiah's life. Most likely he died in Egypt soon after that. Chapter 45 speaks about the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim again. So we know that chapter does not follow in a chronological order, and as many other chapters in the book do not. So this, brethren, is just a short history of the life of the prophet Jeremiah and his messages to the various kings of Judah. And so we would consider him a prophet of doom because of the Lord commissioned him to call attention to the sins of the people and the nation and the destruction that would fall upon them because of their idolatry. A message like that was seldom received well. Now we're going to consider just a few other lessons from Jeremiah's life. When Jeremiah was called by the Lord, we read in Jeremiah, the first chapter, chapter 1, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." What is Jeremiah's reaction to these words by the Lord? Jeremiah said in verse 6, "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Now that's basically what we heard from Brother West about Moses and also Brother Ted. That's what Moses said when he was called to deliver Israel. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he says, "Who am I? I'm but a child." And then in verse 7, the Lord says, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Now, as we know, Jeremiah did not do anything personally to destroy nations, but as God's spokesman, he prophesied of trials and calamities that would come on various nations. And his words came true as the judgments came to pass. The power and the truthfulness of his message were manifest by the fulfillment. And there will be a fulfillment in the proclamation to tear down everything and to build and to plant again, a restoration of the whole world of mankind. The proclamation to build and plant again was given by Jeremiah concerning the nation of Israel. Specifically, it is in Jeremiah 16:13. Jeremiah 16:13, where it reads, Therefore will I cast you out of this land unto a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Now Jeremiah prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar would take the nation to Babylon, but he also prophesied that they would return after 70 years. He prophesied that in two verses in his book. It is chapter 25, verse 12, and also 29:10. 25:12 and 29:10. But in this prophecy here in Jeremiah 16:13, where it says, Unto a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. You know, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. That was Babylonia, which is present-day Iraq. And Ur is the city near Nazareah. We hear a lot about that city in the news of late because of this war in Iraq. And Jacob lived in present-day Syria for 20 years. Jacob spent the last 17 years of his life in Egypt. And eventually the Israelites went in bondage there. So where it says the fathers had dwelt in other lands, so this statement here, to a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and it also says, where I will show you no favor, that positively marks this prophecy as relating to Israel's dispersion among all nations. And that was after Jesus said, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And then in Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, verse 18, we read, And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. The word double there, as you know, would be their mishnah, implying a casting off from all favor as long as a period of favor they enjoyed previous to that time. And then in Jeremiah 16:15 it says, But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them, And I will bring them again unto their land that I gave unto their fathers. And you recall beginning in 1878 with the Berlin Congress of Nations, Jeremiah's words to build and to plant again, we begin to see a fulfillment in Israel. And to plant and to build and to plant would include a restoration of the whole world of mankind, because Jeremiah also prophesied in Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And so for the will of mankind, in order to avail themselves of this covenant, all other nations and people will be obliged to recognize Israel and be part of Israel. The nations are to be blessed under this new covenant by becoming daughters to Israel. Well, with all that Jeremiah said about Israel being restored, did you ever wonder how much personal faith did Jeremiah have in his own prophecies that his own nation would live again in the land under the new covenant arrangement? You know, we quote from 2 Peter, the first chapter, where it says, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit operating upon their mind certainly caused the prophets to speak and write things of future events which they themselves did not fully understand. But we believe Jeremiah certainly understood that Israel would again dwell in their own land. And a point we would like to make is found in the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32. So it was in the 10th year of Zedekiah that Nebuchadnezzar's army was getting ready to enter Jerusalem. The 10th year of Zedekiah's reign. And the city was eventually taken in the 5th month of the 11th year of his reign. And Jeremiah at that time was in the court of the prison. And he was held there by Zedekiah for prophesying that the city would be taken. And then Jeremiah's cousin comes to him in prison. And he says to him, "Do you want to buy some land and property?" It's actually a field in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. That's where Jeremiah came from. His cousin says to him, "You have a right to buy this, because it states in the law of Israel, in Leviticus 25, that if a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor that he has to sell a part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold." Now, if he knew the city of Winnipeg here would be invaded by a foreign army in 1 year, and there's a foreign army all gathered around Perimeter Road, Perimeter Highway, all around the city of Winnipeg, and someone comes to you and says, "You want to buy a portion of land? Land right next to the community center here. Nice field out there. You could grow some wheat, canola, potatoes, whatever." How many of you would be willing to buy that property if you knew this foreign army was going to come in and destroy the city? You would surely say, "That's a bad investment. I'm never going to get my money back." What did Jeremiah do? He's prophesying that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come destroy the city. He's in jail. What did he do? Jeremiah 32:9. Jeremiah 32:9. It says, "And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver, and I subscribed the evidence, and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Barak before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen jar, or earthen vessel, that they may continue many days." And then in verse 15 he says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land." So Jeremiah certainly demonstrated his confidence that at a later time, many days later, God's favor would return to Israel. We recall how Abraham was told to go to a certain city, to a certain land, and dwell there, and yet in Acts, the seventh chapter, we are told that he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on it. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed forever. So that promise which was made to Abraham, it was an earthly promise and must be completed. Abraham and Jeremiah will receive a better resurrection for God's word to be fulfilled and will be princes in all the earth. You know that bill of sale to Jeremiah was hid by his scribe Barak for many days. You know, someday that deed in the earthen jar may just be discovered by some archaeologist, stating the rightful owner of this land is Jeremiah. 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem is Anathoth, and if I'm not mistaken, that's probably West Bank territory, Jordan's West Bank. The world says, that doesn't belong to Israel, that's Palestinian land. And somebody finds a jar saying, here's the day Jeremiah bought this a long time ago. Now, Jeremiah had predicted that Babylon itself would be destroyed. You know, Babylon was the chief kingdom in earth during Jeremiah's time. Daniel had interpreted a dream to Nebuchadnezzar of this image saying, Thou, O king, art a king of kings. The God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. Thou art his head of gold. However, Jeremiah had given a prophecy concerning the destruction of this kingdom. It's found in chapter 51 of his book. And it was written in the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah. The fourth year. And it says in chapter 51, verse 1, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against thee a destroying wind. And in verse 58, go all the way down to verse 58, it says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. Now, after Nebuchadnezzar came and took the Jews captive to Babylon, after 70 years, some saw the fulfillment. If they were still around in 70 years, they saw the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy in the capture of the city by the Medes and the Persians. And in verse 60 of the 51st chapter, it says, Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all those words that are written against Babylon. And this is in the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah. And Jeremiah said to Sarai, now Sarai was like an ambassador for Judah. Now Judah was subject to Nebuchadnezzar at the time, so he went to Babylon there on official business time. And it says in verse 61, and Jeremiah said to Sarai, when thou comest to Babylon, then see that thou read all these words aloud. And then in verse 63 it says, and it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And in verse 64 it says, and thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. So that city was destroyed over 70 years later, because that was only the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah. However, the real force of that prophecy is not to the literal city that was destroyed, but it was a prophecy for mystic Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And so we recall the words in Revelation 18, 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And so since Jeremiah is a prophet of the Lord, God's word is not going to return unto him void. It will accomplish what he pleases, and that great false religious system will someday be completely overthrown. And it's not going to be heard of at all. You're not going to hear any church bells on a Sunday morning ringing, because it will be completely destroyed. They will know that they were not Christians. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to this lesson from the book of Jeremiah.
Well, we thank you again very much for those good lessons from the book of Jeremiah. There's many there, and we could be refreshed on them and consider, more importantly, their import as we continue on making our way. Thanks again to the Dan for your service to us. But Devin, this brings us to a close of the convention. And if we were going to say, what did our Heavenly Father want us to come away with after this weekend? What did he say? You might say this. The Heavenly Father wants us to hold forth the word of truth, the word of life, striving to be part of that prophet by noting the parallels to Moses' life, inspired by the glory of God, regulating our life by noting the goodness and severity of God, and with greater emphasis on the events of Moses' life, being aware of the necessity of trusting and looking for the good in all of life's experiences, exercising and developing more of the spirit of a sound mind, taking strength from the lessons of Jeremiah's life, and storing up the blessings from the renewed fellowship of saints. In a word, that was the weekend, and we thank the brethren very much for serving us. and for bringing to us all these lessons. We know there's much more than this, but we have the expanded version, and we have much to take home, to think on, and to work on. And we thank the Lord very much for the labors of love, and for all the efforts of the brethren in coming to the convention, all the sacrifices of driving here and being with us. We appreciate that very much. Our thanks to all the brethren that worked on the various aspects of setup and for the meals and everything that was done. We do appreciate it, and we hope that the Lord will reward all the labors of love that were done to help the saints. The brethren, thank you again very much for all the work that we have. Just a couple of announcements. Of course, all are invited to supper immediately following the hymn and the prayer. And we would like to have our final fellowship together. Understand it's pizza and salad and perhaps something else included in there that might have been left over. So we have lots of food. As always, take a moment and just think what you brought with you to the convention to make sure you take it back with you. You wouldn't want to have anything left over that you'd actually very much miss when you're going home. One more final announcement for tapes, CDs, and MP3s. There's a sign-up sheet on the side there, but you should definitely have that on the side. And the card, Sister Rita, is still at the back. If anybody did not get a chance to sign the cards and the greetings, the last chance before those will be sent away. So anything that I might have missed. If not, we will now close then with Brother Dan's choice at hymn number 332. We'll sing all the verses. We'll rise in the last verse. We'll ask Brother Dan to close with a word of prayer. And it's our tradition to close with hymn 64, God Be With You. So after the prayer, we'll just remain standing and we'll sing hymn 64 before we go to the second. So right now, 332, all the verses rising on the last verse. Thank you.
Father, again we come before your throne of grace. We are so very thankful for the privilege for this weekend to come apart from the world and to be refreshed in the things we love, your precious tubes which will sustain us in the days ahead. We pray we might give more earnest heed to the things we have learned and heard and the admonitions in the scriptures and the prophets of old, that we might indeed have a closer walk with thee. We do thank you for the death and resurrection of your Son and his merit applied to us. We can approach thee at the throne of heavenly grace to ask for help in every time of need. We do thank you for the hospitality and love and labors of the brethren here in Winnipeg in providing for our spiritual and our temporal needs. We ask a blessing as we depart to our various homes and pray thy will be done in our lives and for safe journey home to your will. We lead ourselves in our current keeping once again now as we take bread together for the evening meal. And thanking you for all things we pray in words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight as we fellowship one with another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.